Hi, this is Anna, and this is Check It at the Round Table, where we discuss movies, books, music, and stuff. Today we are discussing Love by Chance 2, Episode 11 of the Thai BL drama series. Again, Anna really likes these series, and this is like one of my favorites so far. And again, it's mainly because of A. Okay, just gonna be completely honest there. Although A does not really play a predominant role in this episode of the series. This episode mainly features Tin and Can, and a little bit with A Pond and friends at college. But it opens with Tin, who received a text from. I'm sorry, no, it opens with Can, who received a text from Tin's brother, who sent him this text of. You can probably guess what it is. It's just totally inappropriate material that was filmed that looks like it's. Tin misbehaving in ways that would not be appropriate. And so Can looks at that picture, he gets really mad, and he just flies out of his house to go take care of Tool, Tin's brother. And the thing I love about Can is even when he makes really massively bad decisions, he has such a heart to just go for things in a good way. He's not doing it to be bad or for his own personal gain. And Tin comes to Can's house because he was on a trip to see Can and finds out from Can's mother that Can flew out totally upset and she thought joking that he was going to go kill somebody. And I don't think Can was joking. I think he was really, really upset and not really thinking through what he was saying. So, anyway, Tin knows that he probably meant what he was saying, and so he goes as fast as he can to his house to find his housekeeper upset because Can punched Tool pretty hard in the face, and Tin and Can's dad happened to come out at the same time. And so he took Can into his office, and they're talking, and Can tells Tin's dad what really happened with Tin. That, Tin didn't do all these things that were in the media, but Tool is really kind of a scumbag. And no offense to anyone, it's just like that really is a good term for him right now. I still say no offense to Tool at all here. Number one, he grew up in a very dysfunctional household. And number two, not trying to be weird here, but people do weird things when they're sexually frustrated, and Tool is very sexually frustrated in his relationship with his wife when he really wants to be with Gonhin and can't be because he made some decisions with his wife and that caused their marriage, and he has to live with that, and he's very upset about that whole deal. So, anyway, you have Tool being very upset, Tool having gotten his face punched at the beginning of this episode, and then you have Tin and Can who are now in the office with Tin's dad, who's finally really talking to Tin for the first time in his life and kind of explaining why he's been the way he was. Because Tin had always assumed that his dad hated his guts and that his dad really didn't have any desire for him to excel in life. And actually, for Tin's dad, it was the exact opposite. It simply was, he has a huge disconnect in the way he shows physical care to his children, and he thought that being hands-off and, not having Tin have responsibilities at work, at the office, at home, would be a way to show that he cared about Tin, when really it did the exact opposite. And I really like this scene because it also shows why Can is so cool as a person in how he relates to people and how he can bring together such basically dissimilar yet same people in Tin and Tin's dad, because he basically serves as the bridge between them. Even in his, not very intelligent state, his childlike nature, his ability to sit there and go, Tin, I don't know what your dad's talking about. Can you please explain it to me so we can move forward with this conversation? And I really like how Tin is, or Can is just so childlike, but yet he's able to bridge the gap between these two people who are not very childlike at all. And there is a very poignant scene during this whole engagement where Tin's like, Tin's dad says, I want you to forgive your brother. I know your brother's done terrible things to you now, But I want you to forgive your brother because your brother had it harder than almost anyone on the planet simply because of the family your brother was born into and how your brother had to deal with life as a child, as a young adult, and then with the decisions he made regarding his wife, regarding having a kid with his wife, which led him to get married to her, which then led him to separate from Gonhin. And you really never know what happened there, because I'm going, that's kind of a really weird, messed up deal. And anyway, but, you know, then Gonhin had to leave, who was basically the only person that Tuul could relate to in a somewhat more healthy way than he relates to everyone else, although apparently not all that healthy because of everything that happened with him getting married and having a kid and all that was somebody else. But anyway, you know, he says, please forgive your brother, because your brother might be a disaster, but at least he's got a pretty good reason why he's such a disaster. And Tin looks at his dad and says, I'll forgive my brother, but you're going to have to be okay with me making my own life decisions regarding my life, regarding the people that I care about. And he looks at Ken, and he goes, you know, Ken and me, we're going to be together, and that's got to be okay, or I'm not forgiving my brother, because we have to have caveats here in this family. And his dad's like, fine, you do whatever you want to do with your life. That is one of the reasons I didn't have you have responsibility, is so that you could live your life however you choose to live your life. And then he basically grabs Tin's King grab Can's arm and heads out of the office, because he's like, well, I got that major rattle one. We're going. And the scene right after this involves Tin and Can. They're in, basically, Tin has this apartment that's built into his family's house, because, again, everyone doesn't talk to each other and lives in their own little cubicles. But, you know, during that time when they're in the apartment, Can's like, I want to go back and deal with this with your dad, because I'm not done berating your brother to your dad. And Tin looks at him and goes, you know, we've already won that battle. You've already taken care of. He says, I know you're not the sharpest tool in shed, so you don't realize that, but it's been taken care of. And then he just gives Can a big hug. And I think in that is really kind of their greatest strength as a coupling, is because, you know, Can does have such a gung-ho spirit about things. And Tin's there to sit there and go, we've already taken care of it, Can, and then give him a hug. And they're a very weird couple. They're not the normal kind of couple. They're like polar opposites, but they still work as a couple. And in many ways, if Tin had not had the struggles that he had had coming up, he would have turned out a lot like Can, a lot like Can in his naivety, in his childlikeness, in his belief that things can be changed for the better. I think in many ways that's why they came together as a couple. They moved rather fast in their relationship, but you know, I think it still works. It makes the story interesting, and they really do. It's kind of like in the Why Are You series, which I did not like because it did have some adult, more, not adult, but more mature content. And it just really was one of those that gives BL a bad name because of all the sound effects, some of the poor acting and storyline, etc. But it's kind of like the relationship of Tutor and Fighter. They are what made that show. And in my opinion, in what makes this show is number one, A. Okay, we just got to put A up here and go, A makes the Love by Chance 2 totally worth the watch. But also, you also have to sit there and go, you know, Tin and Can are a really interesting couple. They're interesting to watch. It's neat to see how they interact with each other and how they build up one another instead of tear each other down. As this episode progresses, you also have a little bit of a flashback to Gonhin and Tuul having a conversation when Gonhin decided to leave. And, you know, Gonhin was part of the household staff. His mother was housekeeper. He was a servant. And when Gonhin found out that Tuul had had this kid with, I don't remember the lady's name, it's like Vija, I think, or something. But anyway, when he had a child with her, he decided to get married to her. And when that happened, Gonhin, like, probably mostly any reasonable adult would have sat there and he said, I'm not staying for this. And because he and Tuul had been together for literally like 10 years when this happened or so, I mean, I don't know for exact date because, again, I'm not very good with ages, so we don't know Tool's age, but we know he's older than 10. And they'd been in a pretty long-standing relationship, Gonhin and Tool, and then this happened. So not only is Gonhin dealing with the fact that he's feeling betrayed by this whole situation, but he's also dealing with the fact that he's got to break up with somebody who's he's cared about for a long period of time. And so you see that in this episode when he goes and he talks to Tin's dad and says, "I'm going to be needing to leave and go find another occupation." And so the one thing that is good about Tin's dad is he is supportive of his children. When most people wouldn't be in this, even in this day and age, for liking someone who, is of the same sex. And he's like, "Gonhin, are you really sure you want to, move to a different country and start a new life over there, given the fact that you and Tool have been together for so long?" He's like, "There's no really other option right now because Tool has decided to do what Tool has decided to do, and I need to decide, therefore, what I'm going to do." And so Gonhin does decide to leave. He moves to England. He starts working there, and he does very well for himself and his business. Although personally, he kind of puts everything on the back burner, it looks to me like. And he's just kind of in a holding pattern, trying to deal with the loss of Tool, the loss of the relationship, and the betrayal issue there. And again, there's not much discussion on, the behavior. It's more on, the finality and how you react to it in this episode. And he goes to Tool at the last little bit and he says, "I'm leaving and you need to live so that you can take care of your kid and you need to treat him better than you were treated so he doesn't turn out like you." And not to be vindictive to Tool, just simply to say, "You don't want your kid turning out like you, Tool, because you have turned out to have a very hard life. You've turned out to make, pretty big life decisions that weren't idyllic, and you don't want your kid to follow in those footsteps. So love your kid well, and if you don't have anything else to live for the fact that you want your kid to turn out better than you." And if there's one thing that I think Gonhin is wonderful at, it's like he is great at giving advice when and caring about people when they have utterly failed him. And no offense, but that's a pretty good thing to be. I mean, it's easy to like people when they, behave well, when they treat you excellently, but it's another thing entirely to care about people when they have totally trampled on you and, behaved in really bad ways. And for Gonhin, I have to say, he handles it as well as I think he could in that situation. He then decides to move over to England, and you're back in the presence at that point. And then you flip back to Tin and Can, and Tin tells Can that he's going to be going on a trip for about, a week. And what he's doing is he has been talking to his dad, and he's going to be going and getting Gonhin back because Tool got a divorce because it just did not work out. After, like, their kid is about 8 years old that he had with his wife, and they don't live together really. She found someone in apparently like the French Riviera and she's going there. And I'm like, for her sake, I mean, the one thing that I feel bad about for this whole situation, in addition to, people not doing what they know they should have done, is, Till's wife, married Tool. She had their kid. They were trying to raise it, their child together. And, she was never the one that Tool wanted. And that would be a very uncomfortable situation to have been in as a couple. Just because, she might have been trying her best, but if Tool loves somebody else, it's not going to work. So, for her, I'm glad that she got to go meet someone and be happy and figure that out. For Tool, you don't know what's going to happen right now. You just know that Tin has decided to go over to England. My guess is, again, the one other good thing about Tin is when people do dump on him, he will still do what he can to mend the situation. I mean, as bad as his brother treated him, as terrible as that all was, he knows that the reason his brother did it is because he was angry that he wasn't able to be with Gonhin. He was angry that, life didn't turn out well for him. And if there's one thing Tin understands, it's being angry about things not working out well and some of it being beyond your control. And for Tin, mainly all of it being beyond your control. But anyway, that's kind of where we end. There is a cute scene with Tin giving Can a drink because Can loves like sweet sippy sips. And it's so funny to watch because he's like, he gives Tin one of his sippy sips and then Tin gives it back. And it's just kind of funny to watch that whole interplay. And there is also a scene where Tin is, or Can is talking with A about his relationship with Can, or with Can is talking about his relationship with Tin with A. I'm sorry, I keep flipping names here. But anyway, and he's so brave and childlike about, Tin is my boyfriend now, and I am so happy about that. And A's just watching him sitting on the bench and just kind of laughing at him, going, Can, a few weeks ago you were totally embarrassed to even admit that you were maybe considering a relationship with Tin, and now you are just so bold about it. And Can looks at him and goes, Well, A, you taught me that we should be brave about whatever we do. And honestly, I think that is, this is another scene where it's like, A really does help people be who they need to be. A will sit there and go, you need to live honestly with yourself. You need to be brave about the people you care about because otherwise they're never going to know you care. And what's the bloody point? And that is why I really do like A. I love how he brings out the best in people and he also brings out the best in himself. I mean, he truly is a charming and amazing character. And not charming as in like what the normal term is, but charming as in he really does do the right thing at the right time for the right reasons when he has nothing to gain and everything to lose. Because I mean, right now he's completely unable to be with the person he cares about, and he's decided that that's not going to influence his decisions regarding that person whatsoever, except if anything, he's going to care more. He's going to love more. He's going to do whatever he can to show that person he cares, even if there's a brick wall in front of them, between them, whatever, around them. So, that's why I like A. And I also love how he's able to step out of his situation and help others who are in situations trying to figure out how to relate to someone else. And that is, I think, what makes him such a defining character in this series. And again, I love Love by Chance 1. I really like Love by Chance 2. I do not recommend the book at all because it is not like the films, okay, or series is. But, and the other little side note on this whole episode as well is there is a scene with Techno and Kigla, I think is his name. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. But the guy who wants to be Techno's boyfriend. And he leaves Techno a letter in his house in this episode. And again, they're one of the relationships I don't really cover much in these audio podcasts on the series simply because I don't like the lack of care and the hoodwinking that was involved in their relationship. Not with Techno, but Kigla was not kind. Kigla basically hoodwinked him and hoodwinked Techno, and Techno's trying to deal with that whole ball of wool. And so Techno gets a letter, and he's reading the letter that basically says, I know I hoodwinked you. I know that, this wasn't the way I should have done things. I know that you don't want to talk to me, and you have your obvious reasons for doing so. But I just also want you to know that I do care about you, even though I maybe behaved in ways that were not acceptable. And, finally in this episode, because I don't know why, but it's like Techno's sitting there going, he took the time to write me a letter about this. And for some reason, that makes Techno not so upset about things. Because the letter shows him that, maybe Kigla does care enough to spend time to write a letter. And maybe that means I should give this another consideration. Although I really think at this point Techno's still like he's sitting there, but he's actually between the door because Kigla's on the other side seeing if he maybe grabbed the letter and because he shoved it under the door to their house. And he opens the door and sees Kigla's there and he's like he shuts the door. He's like, I must be strong. I cannot give into this relationship because Kigla's behaves so terribly, basically. And it's kind of funny to watch, but also to sit there and go, there are some relationships that do not start out in the best of circumstances whatsoever. And how do you deal with that? Do you just completely write off the relationship or do you give things another chance? And, personally, I don't think hoodwinking is something that is a really easily gotten past issue on any front. I mean, whether you're talking about someone lying about who they are, or, not being honest in the relationship or taking advantage of the other party temporarily. That's not something that I think is easily gotten over, but I still think sometimes, people do move on with the relationship. They can sometimes go on to have a successful one, even though it started out in rather bad circumstances. And sometimes that does happen. And so, true to life, we do have this in this series. I do think it's also a very good juxtaposition between A and Pete's relationship and also Tin and Can, where those two couples do care about each other. Those two couples never hoodwink each other. I mean, A and Pete, it's like they care about each other. They're going to be completely honest. It's like there's no pretending there. And with Tin and Can, they're completely honest as well in their relationship. And then you got Kegla and Techno, and they are not completely honest in their relationship. Not because of Techno. Techno really just went through life not thinking Kegla care about him, and then had this little situation come up in Love by Chance One, and didn't know how to deal with that hoodwinking basically that occurred. And so now he's trying to figure that out, and it's true to life. There are some times when this does happen and people have to figure that out. How are they going to relate to people? How are they going to deal with that in their lives? And so I do like, again, how this series brings up difficult situations and how do we resolve them? And also that it has A. And with that, Anna out. Check it at the round table. Bye.